ಬಾರಿ ಒಪ್ಪಿ ಜನಪಾಲವ ಗಿರಿವರ ಜಾರಿ ಯಾಶೌರನ ನನ್ನ ವಚ ಚಂದನ ಭಜ ಜಂಗಳಾಂಜನ ಜಾಮುನ ಚೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಾಮುನ ಚೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಮಾರಿಹಾರಿ ಒಪ್ಪಿ ಜನ್ನ ಬಲ್ಲವ ಗಿರಿವರ ದಾರಿ ಯಾಶೌರನ ನನ್ನ ಭಜ ಜನ್ನರಾಂಜನ ಯಶೋರನ ನನ್ನ ಭಜ ಜನರಾಂಜನ ಜಾಮುನ ಚೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಹಾರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಾರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ
Glories to the Sama Devotees. Glories to the Sama Devotees. Glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Hari Nam Ki Jai. So to invoke a little auspiciousness, we repeat the prayer to the Supreme Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We've been asked to give a title to our class. So I guess my class would be Nobody to Somebody. So we're going to read a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the song of God, spoken thousands of years ago and very relevant to this very day. And we'll speak a very famous verse in the third chapter, which is called Karma Yoga. Karma meaning activity. And text 27. It's up there. We can all say it together. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So here they're discussing about false ego. Purport. Two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform, but there's a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently. And that is a symptom of his omniscience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is a creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. The ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Hrishikesh, or the master of the senses of the material body. For due to his long misuse of the senses and sense gratification, he is actually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna. A couple of days a week, I get to, in the morning, go on the altar and dress the deities. And so I miss out on my time in the early morning to chant on my beads called japa. And usually in the morning, your mind is a little more peaceful. It's easier to chant Hare Krishna, not so much as running through the mind. But sometimes I have to do it in the middle of the day, which is very hard because once the material energy gets going, it's really hard to concentrate. You're thinking about all the lists of things you have to buy at the store, etc. So I found a real nice place to chant. It's a cemetery. There's not a lot going on there, actually. It's not too many distractions. It's a peaceful place. There's a little teeny cemetery down the road, and no one's ever there. And if they are, they're definitely not conscious. The other week I was there, and I noticed there was a brand new, they put up the little canopy and all the new flowers and everything was there. So someone had newly been buried. And then I went somewhere else in the graveyard, and there was an old one. You could barely see it. It was all rubbed. You couldn't hardly see the name in it. Algae, fungus, it was growing all over it. And it was in the 1800s. This was over 100 years old. And I was thinking, nobody Nobody will remember that person who's on the planet now. No one's going to remember. And ultimately, even that person that was born a couple days ago, ultimately, in time, nobody is going to remember that person. We're actually without a body, with no body, you're really nobody. And so I was thinking that could be quite depressing, because we work very hard for enjoyment, try to make this body, I guess, describing here. They're so bewildered, they're thinking they have to please the body all the time. And you have to work really hard for that pleasure. All those people that were underground there, buried in that cemetery, they worked very hard. And how much pleasure did they get? And Mr. So-and-so, whose name I can barely read, do you think he's enjoying those artificial flowers that are on top of his grave right now? I don't think so. No. You can only enjoy so long, if you can enjoy it all. But somehow or other, this false ego, this ego of thinking that I am this body, is very convincing. Everyone is thinking that everything is made for my enjoyment. When we wake up in the morning, immediately we start thinking of my needs, my interests, and my desires, right? We're thinking me and mine. It's an automatic thing the minute you wake up. The minute you're born, you're thinking, I need something in my mouth, right? I want something. So this is the false ego. And this false ego, it's very subtle. It's described that we have two sets of bodies. We have the gross material one, and we have the very subtle one that I can't put on the desk here to show you. But we all have it. We have intelligence, we have false ego, and so this, but it's very strong. Without that, we would be I'd be unconscious. It's a very, very strong thing. And what it's doing is that false ego is creating bodies for us again and again. With those desires, all of a sudden we come out with this kind of a body from past desires. So it's a very, very powerful thing. So we'll discuss a little bit about it. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's describing that from the very topmost planet, heavenly planets, where everything is very nice and cozy, and down to the lowest planet, which is below the Earth, we're kind of in the middle, they're all places of misery, actually, and there's birth and death on all of them. And so all this false ego is saying that I have to work and I have to work for enjoyment, but it's already been stamped that it's a place of misery. So this false ego is causing us a lot of trouble. This place is Marcha Loka. It's a place of death. And therefore, this soul is in a very uncomfortable situation. Just like I think yesterday somebody was in Hawaii and was surfing and got bit by a shark, his whole leg gone or something like that. He wasn't expecting to suffer like that. He's expecting to enjoy, right? But suffering. It's a very uncomfortable place. So we're always fearful of that, most of the suffering, especially of death. So it's really not where this spirit soul is supposed to be. The spirit soul is a part of the Supreme Lord, most beautiful, wealthy, intelligent, renounced, everything. And we're part of that spirit soul. We're eternal. We're not supposed to die. Therefore, it's very uncomfortable for us here. We're supposed to be pleasurable all the time, but it's not like that. So we have to do something to change the situation that we're in. We can't go on business as usual. We just can't. Not anymore. We have to do something different in this lifetime so this false ego doesn't cover us over and keep us here birth after birth, getting different bodies all the time. We deserve better because we're part of the Supreme, and we're due also some supreme opulence, some supreme pleasure also. We can become somebody. That somebody is that we are linked to Krishna in a very special way. We're a very special person in Krishna's eyes. He says over and over in the 12th chapter, you're very dear to me, one who gives me something, one who's doing something for me, or even thinking about me, or giving up something for me. You're very dear to me. So we are somebody. And we have to lift our consciousness away from this false ego. And we have to get out of the darkness and actually see who we are. In other words, we have some work to do. We can't go on as usual, so we have to take up this process of self-realization. And it is some work. First of all, we have to agree to take up the process, that we agree to, yes, whatever it takes. And we understand that bhakti is the easiest way, actually, to become purified and to get back to that original consciousness so we can see that brilliant self within ourselves. And that art of bhakti is what we teach here. And so we're encouraging everyone to come here and learn that, how to become self-realized. This is a movement. It's moving in a different direction than everything else out there that's making you work hard just to go to your grave. We're moving in a direction towards reviving our love and consciousness of Krishna. And so it's very important that we take it up. And, of course, we need the help of the representative of Krishna to teach us how to do that. It's not as easy as it may sound, although it's made as easy as possible in this age. The spiritual master has already reached that perfection, and he can help guide us how to deal with our senses, and beginning with the tongue. He teaches us to glorify Krishna instead of using it to flap and talk nonsense. Using it to taste nice Krishna prasadam instead of just anything that's in the refrigerator. So we need that help. And we also need to hear over and over again, like Srila Prabhupada did, was to say that the very first lesson in Krishna consciousness is that you're not this body. How many of us have heard it? How many of us have realized it? It's a gradual process, so we need to hear it again and again. So we come here, and we do, just like today, trying to encourage everyone to really try to make some advancement in this lifetime. Of course, we also have the assistance of other devotees, very important, because we don't always have that same strength as Srila Prabhupada. So he gives us a nice sociable situation here where we can get assistance by wonderful devotees to help us. It's kind of like surveillance. They're always watching us and making sure that we don't get too wild with our senses. I received this thing in the email. It's on a nice magazine, Transcendental Magazine, that comes to my computer. And it's about association. I thought it was really nice. Of course, you may have heard of Lord Shiva. He's usually pictured with a crescent moon in his hair. And so this is a nice little thing to remember. By the association of great souls, even a rascal can achieve the impossible. Just as an ant, in association with a flower on the hair of Lord Shiva, can perform the feat of touching the moon. So all we have to do is have that great association of the devotees and of the Supreme Lord, beginning by hearing, chanting, glorifying Krishna, that we can actually become successful ultimately. Of course, it requires some resolute determination and having that purpose in mind that I'm not going to get swept away by this Maya, this false ego, this lifetime. My aim this lifetime is to give it to Krishna. It's a trade-off, though. It's not for free. We have to trade something. We have to trade our lust for entertainment, for material entertainment. We all crave to be entertained all the time. And the entertainment world is making millions off of you by giving you all this entertainment. We have to give that up, and we have to actually realize how to entertain Krishna. by this process of bhakti. But it's crazy in the material world. It's also very tempting to just turn on all those little devices and get swept away, thinking that we can be happy, that this false ego can ultimately be satisfied. But not so easy. We get mesmerized to think that we are just this material body. And then we need to make it better. Just like I was at my mother's, she's almost 94. And I noticed when I got in the elevator, it said, you can sign up for a makeover. Anybody know what a makeover is? Women do. Some ladies from the cosmetic business will come in, they'll set up their little shop, and you sign up, and they'll do all their thing and make you look great, even at 94. So these people, they go to where all these old ladies are, where they still have some hope of being beautiful again. And my mother signed up for it. I said, don't put your checkbook in your little cart. I said, don't do it. And she goes, I know, they just want to sell that stuff. And but she did. She put it in there, and I left. And so I went to the mall. I had to buy something in Tampa because they don't have very many things here in Alachua. So I went there. I really didn't want to go in there. I'd never been in this mall. 200 stores. I walk in the first thing, and I walk, if women know this, the first thing you do when you walk into a, like, Dillard's, I think it was Dillard's or something, you're in the cosmetic section. And they go, fragrances, this, all these things to make you look better. I said, come on, look at, like beyond hope. I just went through, I was thinking, boy, everyone's trying to change their appearance. They're not happy with this body that they have. They want a bigger false ego. And then I was thinking, this is the month that you can pick your own identity. You can pick a new, fresh identity. Because at the end of this month, what is it? Halloween, right. So millions upon millions of persons are thinking, meditating, I want to be this, I want to be that. I want to be a princess. I always wanted to be a pirate. I don't know why. And I want to be, I want to be this, I want to be that. The old people want to be young, the young people want to be old. And even, the young and the old, they all dress up. Have you ever been down, we chant at the Halloween thing down here. And all the old people are all dressed up too, And you think, after you kind of grow out of this a little bit, you think, they look really silly. Everyone looks so silly, running around, I'm a dragon, I'm Dracula, Frankenstein, I'm a whatever. And, this little teeny kid this big, I'm Superman, That's how big the false ego is. And they make it bigger during Halloween. Of course, you have to pay for the costumes too. But then I was thinking, Krishna is looking down on us, on this whole planet. We're all running around. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be a star, superstar. I want to be the best water skier. I want to be a newsman or whatever. And I'm sure he's just like, when are they ever going to grow up? When are they going to ever grow out of this false ego trip that they're on? And of course, Halloween isn't Halloween without the pumpkins, right? And the pumpkins have smiles, sad, fearful, scary, just like it's described here. It's all the work of the modes of material nature, right? All these different bodies that we have, they're all different because of different modes that we're in contact with. And it's a frightful situation to think that we're caught up in this. Lifetime after lifetime, we can pick from 8,400,000 costumes that Maya has in her store. We can be a camel with our as pride as can be with our head up in the air. Have you ever seen them? They walk around like I'm the greatest thing in Rajasthan. You see them on the walking like I'm beautiful. So this is it's scary to think that lifetime after lifetime we get different bodies. And sometimes we wake up or pop out and think, oh my gosh, what did I do to get that one? So we can try to get one we like better next lifetime, but best to give up this whole wannabe Halloween consciousness. There really is no shelter here in the material world, no matter what body you're in. It's all illusion. But the real shelter is to find our real self, become somebody by serving Krishna eternally. And Krishna will see. He'll look down on us, devotees, running around, trying to do this for him, trying to do that for him, maybe not so expertly, but he's happy. He's very happy that at least we're trying, we're endeavoring to get that real ego, dasanu das, that I'm just a servant of Krishna. Let me do something for you this lifetime, this whole lifetime. Give up my play games and do something for you. So this service attitude must develop within our consciousness. Otherwise, that material consciousness will take us to another body. If we have Krishna consciousness, we're going to go to Krishna. It's guaranteed. He guarantees it how many times in the Bhagavad Gita that you will come to me. So it's a very serious thing that we choose this opportunity to become a servant. Not a slave. A slave, the master exploits, and the servant is never happy. But a volunteer, a servant of the Supreme Lord, there's reciprocation, bhakti. It's flowing. I want to do something for Krishna. He wants to do something for me. And it only grows more and more. And we can't do enough for him. He can't do enough for us. So this is a whole different world. And so in Krishna consciousness, we have initiations. We have first and second initiation. And there's a big fire, a big jagya. And it's described that that fire is like the mouth of Vishnu, and it eats up all our past karma, right? Clean slate. And it feels good after those fire jagyas. Finished, right? All that. Start new again, all that bad karma, all the good karma, it's all gone. And then second initiation, second birth. No more false ego, right? All new. No. Wishful thinking. That false ego still, it's such a little subtle thing, but it's still there, right? I'm the best cook. I'm the best madanga player. And I can really play those cartels good, right? So all these different things that we have, thinking so many things about ourselves, which is not our real self. Our real somebody is something all different. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm actually dasanu das, simply a servant of the Supreme Lord. But these habits and these attachments we have, like it's describing here, all these attachments make us bound to this false ego. So we have to get rid of it, and therefore these programs that we have, chanting all together, hearing the holy name, becoming attached to that sound of Krishna's name, musicians getting attached to kirtan, right? Can't wait for those 24-hour kirtans. Half the temples right now and New Talaman at the 24-hour kirtan because they couldn't resist. They have to go. They have to hear all those great kirtan leaders. So this process does work. It does work. It does cleanse our heart, and we begin to see that the thirst for pride and all those things, it starts to go away. We want to just become a simple little devotee with a priority in our life to become just a servant of the servant. And our greatest fear is not death. Our greatest fear is that false ego is going to flare up again, and we're going to be in total darkness and think that we're this body. So sometimes Krishna sends us help. He sends us in the form of chastisement, sometimes publicly, sometimes privately. I have a little story. Just the other day, I've been in this new barn, painting for about 3 weeks. It seems like I'm never going to get done. And so I'm on these up and down on these ladders all these weeks, painting. And then, about 3 days ago, I was painting and I got into this attitude. Good thing I'm in here painting. It never would have gotten done. Bam! Krishna knocked me off the ladder. I was perfectly all right on the ladder. Knocked me off the ladder, threw me on the floor. Luckily, I hit a wall. I landed on my already sprained finger and toe. And I looked up. I go, Krishna, thank you for that. I mean, the minute that mentality came, whack, knocked me off that ladder. And I immediately thought, thank you. You know? So the devotee is very happy to get rid of this detachment and to get rid of this false ego. We're so thankful that Krishna cares for us, because this attitude doesn't sit well with us. It doesn't make us any happier. It makes us miserable. So best we take very seriously this Krishna consciousness and welcome these helpful things that Krishna does at different times. In the next verse, it says, one who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty arm, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruit of results. So when you're off that fruit of platform, then you can be detached from that false ego, and then you can see who you really are. Otherwise, next lifetime, you're going to have a big fruit of karma that you're going to nibble on for how many more lifetimes? You got to work it off. So we want to give up all the fruits of everything in this lifetime. How nice it would be if you were an employer and someone came up and said, I'd like to apply for your job. I don't want anything. I don't want any compensation. I just want to work for you. I think the employer would be pretty surprised, right? Sure. Come on. But don't worry, that's not going to happen in the material world. You don't have people asking to work for nothing. But here you do. Here in this temple, we're all volunteering to work for nothing. Because we want to get to that point of selflessness, because we know then Krishna will really be pleased. So pleased that he might accept us all the way back home, back to Godhead. And so what makes us volunteer? What makes us so inspired? Srila Prabhupada. Because he was at that level. He showed us how he left everything, even his spiritual wonderland of Vrindavan, and came here to the material Western world and gave us Krishna consciousness. So it's very inspiring to take to Krishna consciousness, and especially we can think of that in this next coming year. But then someone might say, but there's so many advantages to being an illusion. They even have the saying, ignorance is bliss, right? Better just to be in darkness, not even know about what's real, right? Just forget about it, you know, like the blinders on the horse. I'm just going here. I don't care about anything. One advantage is that you're not going to be alone, because 99.9% of the population are all out there in illusion. So you'll have plenty of association. And they're all been, you know, swept away. They're all thinking they're going to get that treat. On Halloween, what do? I remember I used to leave early. And as soon as there was a little bit of darkness, I used to go a mile this way, a mile that way. I would run to get as many sweets as I possibly could. I love sweets. I still love sweets. And I would come back with bag loads of sweets. And I would take them the first week. I'd take them to school, hide them in the desk, eat them all day long. After a few days, right? Ugh. They want to see another sweet, at least for a few days. So here, all these different living entities are caught up in, yes, I want that treat. But Maya, she's got her tricks, right? She's going to say, please bend over. Bam! Or she's going to promise you, or she's going to promise you a wonderful paycheck, and she's not going to give it to you until next lifetime she'll promise to you again. So be very careful. Another advantage, Maya will keep you very busy. There's no unemployment here, right? Everyone has something to do, even just to take care of this body. When you get old, so much to do, right? Not looking forward to it. And so, yes, so this is also an advantage? I don't think so. We got so much to do to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was so kind to come down here in the spiritual world and help us. So now he's employed us. So we have plenty of spiritual employment and a lot better association. And another advantage of material life is that you can have Halloween lifetime after lifetime. Dress up in any form you want. You desire it, you'll come out. Yes, this and that. So be very careful, because ignorance is not bliss. It really isn't. But Krishna consciousness is natural. It's a purification party. We come here early in the morning, and we have singing, dancing, nice food, gorgeous surroundings. So why would we miss this wonderful opportunity to get purified? But be careful, because even in Krishna consciousness, you are going to be a nobody at some point. I remember I was in Los Angeles Temple. This was 1971. And I was painting the kitchen. Somehow or other, I'm always painting. I was painting the kitchen, doing it all by myself. Big old huge kitchen. And I was thinking, you know, sometime in the future, no one's going to remember me that I painted this kitchen, that I did so much here at this temple, that I did that, I did this, I sacrificed it. No one's going to remember me. But I don't care. I don't care, because Krishna will just sees our little bit of endeavor. And we're not looking for the glory. We don't want to feed that false ego. We just want to please Srila Prabhupada. There's so much to do for Krishna. So if you're looking for name, fame, and glory, this isn't the place either. If you want just to become somebody in Krishna's eyes, then stick to Krishna consciousness. And you'll be very much spiritually alive. You won't be an old stiff, as they say. You'll be alive spiritually. Just like Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya means living force. And how do we see him on the altar? Like this, right? To show that, yes, very much alive. Okay, do that again. Everyone do that. Not here. This is just saying, Haribol, here we're waving. Here we're surrendering to Lord Chaitanya all the way up. It's much easier for him to grab your arms and pick you up and take you back with him if you do it all the way. And our false ego, it's easier to drain off that way. So we should take up this wonderful, simple process of Krishna consciousness and feel. We'll feel that spiritual pleasure of in reciprocation of the Supreme Lord every day, more and more. But some people might say, this sounds like you have a very low self-esteem. And I looked up the word self-esteem, and this is some of the synonyms. This is what it is. Self-respect, dignity, pride, faith in oneself. This is not what we read in Bhagavad Gita by any means. What is it? Pridelessness, self-control, humility. This is our esteem, but it's a spiritual esteem. It's not a false self-esteem. You might say it's low, yes. Ultimately, we want it gone completely. But we have great esteem for the most esteemed Srila Prabhupada and for those saints and sages that have reached this perfection of Krishna consciousness. For instance, if you take the word self-respect, we have the greatest respect for our real self and for the self within every living entity, even the animals. So yes, we do. We have self-respect at the highest level because we see the soul. Faith in oneself. We have faith that our self, by hearing his holy name, we will be delivered in this lifetime. Just if we can become attracted to that holy name, Krishna. In pride, yes, we have pride. We have pride in Srila Prabhupada, because he was so wonderful to come here and deliver us all. So Krishna, he doesn't think that we, because we have low self-esteem, that we're worthless, can't do anything. No, He sees us as not a nobody, but he sees us as a somebody, someone who is very much connected to him and very dear to him. And he wants us back, so therefore he appears in the holy name. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should remember what it actually means. It means, oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Don't engage me in this feeding of the false ego. Let me get rid of it in this lifetime. So that's the challenge that we have, and with the association of Srila Prabhupada and his books and all the great Vaishnavas, we can make some progress. Anyone have any questions or anything else they'd like to say? Sukhada Prabhu. Say it again.
As far as pride goes, we can be proud of being a devotee. And a devotee, what's really, another thing that's really unique about a devotee is that a devotee is a friend to everyone. And I was traveling recently, and I met when I would meet new devotees, I'd ask them, how did you become a devotee? It was so interesting. This one young man, he was in a family, his mom and dad were divorced, he was dealing with his step-parents, and he had a kind of artistic mentality. Whenever he would come up with an idea of what he wanted to do, they'd say, that's a horrible idea, that's ridiculous, you're never going to get anywhere. So it was like constant, you know, of just kind of berating. He felt very unappreciated, so he left. You know, he left his home. He started living on the streets and got into things that street people do, taking drugs, selling drugs, all of that. He saw the devotees, and he thought also they were very ridiculous, you know. But he went to the temple just out of curiosity. And what happened is one devotee sat down with them and spent time with them. He said all the rest of the devotees wanted to kick him out because he was on drugs. And they said, just get rid of him, you know. But this one devotee just took the time to spend time with them, stayed with them. And from that time on, for like whatever, up to 2 years, which brought him up to the present, he never took drugs, and he just completely reformed his life. So it's it's really amazing what a devotee's association can do, how it can transform someone. So anyway, I just wanted to share that story. I love that story.
It's amazing that Krishna hasn't left us too. I mean, after all of our craziness, that he hasn't left us and still has hope for us.
That theme came up often where, you know, someone before they were devotee, they had a lot of friends, or they thought they had a lot of friends, but then something happened where they thought, people they thought they could count on, they couldn't really count on. And then they became, you know, disillusioned, and then started praying, and then, you know, met a devotee or got Prabhupada's book. So that's why the books are so important to be out there, because people, they find them. And I heard one story where a devotee, he was fishing, and he felt something on the line, right? So he started pulling it up. It was a big bag full of books, but they were all waterlogged. They were all ruined, except for one that was like triple wrapped in plastic. It was a Bhagavad Gita. So he read it, and he became a devotee.
Krishna wants us back. So it's important that we help each other and encourage each other at the same time to keep going forward. We might go back a little and then go forward, go back and forth. Yes?
Hare Bo, Mother, thank you for your class. Yesterday, in the late 70s and early 80s, I had a favorite Motown group called the Temptations. So yesterday I looked up online, checking out some things. I Googled all of these different guys and see where they were now. And one of them committed suicide. One of them, David Ruffin, died of a drug overdose.